just the joy I have to hear how this service starts off. It brings a lot of energy and a lot of joy. And I want to take a look at something with you today. The Lord was really speaking to me inside 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and I just want to give you four verses, that's it, where Paul is trying to get the... And he's encountering opposition. And I think it would be relevant to each of our lives, but you can really hear his heart in this. And how much he really loves Jesus Christ. And how much he loves the church in Corinth. And you can also hear some frustration. You can hear from a man who's been pushed to his limit. You ever been pushed to your limit? Three of us? Three of us here? Seriously. Parents, some of you are crying right now. You're nodding. You know you've been pushed to your limit as a parent, right? Yeah. Sometimes you hear yourself screaming, and you're not even conscious of the fact that you're doing it. As a parent, I remember that. Some of the words coming out of your mouth, you know you're going to have to ask God to forgive them, but they just keep coming out. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for your presence this morning. You were invited here. You are here. And we move out of the way anything that would get in the way of your presence. Any spirit, anything that is from our adversary, the enemy, Satan and all of his foul spirits, you are bound. Be gone in the name of Jesus. And Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Move freely this morning. Move through your word and move through beauty. God, thank you for being sovereign. Your presence is soothing and convicting. It's encouraging. Anything we need this morning, you hold. And we fall into your lap this morning and thank you for your Son. And Jesus, thank you for the way you set the tone and navigated life, even tough days and tough situations that would just push us to the limit. So we ask for you to produce this entire service this morning. Take it where you want it to go, into the hearts and minds of our Avalonians, and we give it to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Sometimes you're pushed to your limit. Hard for me to come up with a title for this one this week, but everybody has a limit, and Paul apparently has been pushed to his in ministry. He's right on the edge. And you're going to hear it. You're going to hear what he has to say, how he says it. But he has pushed to the limit, and it's by false teachers and preachers who are trying to undermine his authority. And they're saying he's not a real preacher. They're saying he's not a real pastor. And he's the one that started the church in Corinth, for gosh sakes. He's the one that took the gospel past the boundaries of the Jewish faith and into the Gentile community. I mean, this is hard. He's the one that broke the barrier so that the gospel is with us and it's in your hands today. And usually those who break the barriers have to fight the fiercest battles. Amen? Yeah, usually the pioneers have the most pain, right? Okay, all right. We're all in favor of that? Yeah, one of us? Okay, great. Yeah, he crossed the line. It is the most pain. Listen, he says in verse 13, Corinthians 10, and 2 Corinthians 10, looking at 13 through 16, and listen to his determination on one hand and his desperation on the other. And he says this, we will not boast beyond... See our word there, beyond limits, but will boast only with regard to the area God assigned to us to reach, even to you. Touch your neighbor and say, if God can reach you, Go ahead. He can reach anybody. Oh, gosh. Okay. Paul had it with these people, all right? And here it comes, because they're resisting him now. Things got started, but they're resisting him now. And they're withdrawing from him. And he's trying to take up an offering for the Jewish Christians, and they're playing hard to get. He's having to beg them just to be a part of it. And he says, listen, we came to you. Nobody else would come to you, but we came to you, and we preached the gospel. Lives were changed. Now you want it to back away. You're just taking a backward stance. You're sandbagging here. Look at verse 14. We're not overextending ourselves as though we did not reach you. Quit trying to act as if God's never done anything for you. Quit trying to act like it was anything but Christ that got you where you are in life. We were the first to come all the way to you with the gospel of Christ. We do not boast beyond limit in the labors of others. This is where I want to spread some good news this morning. And actually, I'm going to spend my time this morning right here. But our hope is that as your faith increases, okay, catch that? Y'all listen this morning? As your faith increases, our area of influence among you may be greatly enlarged so that we may preach the gospel in lands beyond you. I'm digging that verse. That's good stuff. I'll stop there. Quick survey. How many of you use social media? Raise your hand and be proud. Okay? All right. Yeah, there's plenty to choose from there. The you know, what I find it really wild is Paul and his voice got the gospel out, and they didn't have YouTube. They didn't have any of that. What do you think it's going to be like when we meet Paul in heaven and it looks like what you know, what we've done in our day compared to what he did on a donkey, right? It's going to be wild talking to him. And, you know, we have everything. Our planes, trains, automobiles, Snap, Insta, blah, blah, Facebook, all of it, right? And he just had his donkey and a boat that ended up being like a board to float on after it all went down. It's going to be wild. And it's, hey, admit this, it's an exciting time to get the gospel out. Amen? Cincinnati, Tokyo, just got done talking to my friend in Israel this morning. He's a great surfer. He and his wife are there with a little conference thing going on. It's a cool time, and you can watch these things online. You know, just got done FaceTiming a friend of mine in Bangkok yesterday who's just a great friend, great, doing some missions there. I'm talking to him, 12-hour difference, but, man, we're just looking right at each other. It's a cool time, and I don't just take it for granted. Don't take it for granted when we get to reach like we get to reach and how long the arms are that we can use today. That's a huge plug right there. And to him much is given, much is required. So I'm kind of nervous if I ever get to meet Paul and make it to heaven. I'm sure he's going to be there, and I'm just going to be kind of timid as I walk up to him. And everything that he's accomplished, you know, and everything that I've had at my disposal, and you know, I could have used something and didn't, I'm going to have to take account for that, right? I believe that. And we want to maximize the time we've been given. Is there anybody awake this morning? We want to maximize the time we've been given. Maximize your phone. I mean, these things that are social media, they're tools, if you look at them that way. They're tools. They can be used for good. And the resources that you've been given, God can do something through you if used correctly. They're powerful tools. And Paul's getting the gospel out at an incredible rate of speed, considering the limitations that he faced. Not only the fact that what he was doing was illegal, proclaiming the Christian message, which didn't seem to stop him. You know, we get all worried about religious liberty and a democracy. I'm not afraid to carry my Bible on school campuses, and I mean way before Avalon here. I'm not, and there is enough fear whirling, just swirling in and out of administration where they're going to squelch that message in their staff and in their administration. But as a volunteer and as a mentor and as someone who's there to just encourage kids, if somebody asked me about my faith, would you be any less hesitant, you know? Would you be any less to just pull out a Bible if you needed to? We live here where we can do that. We live here where we can do that. Paul was under a Caesar that would take your head off for preaching it, but somehow he still got it out. He would not be stopped. Paul was unstoppable because he served a God who was unlimited. I literally have planted my life into some of the most simple things that I've bypassed through a lot of my teen years and his teachings for about 7 straight weeks. This is going into my eighth week coming up here. I hear him saying in this passage, there's more to be done. Avalon, I'm going to say it this morning, and I want you to never forget it. There is work to be done in this town. We have not stabilized. We are not at a plane and just going to just cruise right on to glory land. There is work to be done in Avalon. Look around at the available room and space, and I know there's a lot of ladies that are being energized this morning, but they know as well as I know there is work, plenty of work to do in this town. And I hear him saying in this passage, there is more. And I hear him saying in this passage that there's no cap, there's no ceiling, there's no limitation, there ain't no lid, as my dad would say, on what God is able to do. Is there anybody awake this morning? Can you remember last week? Because you come every week. I know you never skip every week. We were talking about how God is able to do immeasurably more and beyond and above what we could ever ask or imagine. I'm quoting scripture this morning if you're listening. And that's true of you. And that's true of this stage. And that's true of this property. God can do way more than we will ever possibly imagine. It'll go way past my time. If God is here, he will bless it. If God is in something, he will bless it. Amen? We want God. We want more of him. God is capable of exceeding what we limit. And yet Paul is frustrated because this unchained gospel, this unlimited God, seems to have been confined by these Corinthians in some way. Again, raise your hand. How many of you use social media of any kind? One more time. Hands, 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 hands. Okay, that's everybody. All right, that's what I thought. How many of you have particularly taken the time to read comments on things that you have posted? Anyone here take the time to do that? Okay, I'm ashamed to say I rarely do that. But when I do, this is my current live Facebook profile right here. There it is. Okay, it's not a plug for Facebook, even though it's spelled A-N-D-H. Okay, this is me. And I literally love this. Occasionally, when there's something on there, it's like 1 out of 200, because usually people will say some really nice things like, hey, family looks cool. The baby looks intact. Looks like you're hanging in there, pops. You know, I love that. But there's that one comment out of 200, right? That's the one that takes you down. Are y'all looking at me? That's the one that I crash and burn. It's that one comment, you know, just the one. And I, you know, I look at that and I'm like, oh, geez, you know. And there's this one little feature. It's actually my favorite feature on here. And I'm going to look up somebody right now who, Reed is sitting here right now. Reed Woodyard. Reed Woodyard. There he is. Okay. And there's this one feature on there. And it's this little button. And it's so powerful, called block. And Reed, I know you'll forgive me and I'll unblock you later, but Reed, you just got blocked, bro. Yeah. Oh, man, there's like nothing left but just you and your wife. Like, it's all like white now. So Reed is now blocked. And you know that makes you feel good when somebody puts that comment on there. And right after you block them, there's this one little thing. Are you sure? Love that, especially Instagram. You guys know I use Instagram like once every 2 years, but some of you guys use it once every 2 seconds. And you know that they always check with you first. Are you sure? Are you sure about this? You sure? You sure you want to block Reed? I mean, you and Reed just had breakfast the other day. You sure you want to block him? I mean, he's not going to buy anymore. This is weird. So I sit back and I'm like, yeah, I'm sure. You know, and how good does that feel every time someone gets on there to just drain you to block someone, right? You know where I'm going with this. And typically, you'll get some crazy comments on there and maybe let them go. But I know for my wife, it's a quick block. I don't need to hear this. I'm like, wait a minute. My best basic instincts, you know, would have me do something more drastic. I'd love to just meet with Reed to tell him how I really feel. But it's a lot easier just to hit the block button. And anyone here ever had to use the block button? I'm curious. Three of us? Okay, good, good. Everybody else? I'm blocking you this morning. It is a powerful feeling. Wouldn't it be nice in real life if somebody just had the block button? You know, they're in your face and they're just saying a bunch of stuff. Typically, it's crap that gets me hitting the fan. Wouldn't it be nice if they just had that like right on their lips? Block. Wouldn't that be incredible? It just would be the most powerful moment. And I'm a long way right now from 2 Corinthians 10. I apologize. But I'm going to get back right here. And you can say whatever you want. And I won't see it. I won't hear it. You're not on my feed anymore. I don't have to look at what you think. And there is this individual in town that just loves to just say the most random, bizarre stuff when, you know, there's this little tidbit of encouragement that I try to drop a line. And all of a sudden, it's just like off in la-la land. And I don't have to see it anymore. I don't have to read it. You're not on my feed. It's all gone. And there's a great feeling there, and it's a little weird. But I was thinking about the fact there's a lot of people who come to church here who have inadvertently blocked the Word of God. I set you up for that one, okay? You didn't even see that one coming. I just slid that one right in. But we do. And we block that. The title of my message today, Everybody Has a Limit. And the easy answer is everybody has a limit on how much pain and junk and sorrow and disgust that you let yourself feel. This week I've had plenty. And there is a limit to how much you will let assault your heart. There are wild men in this room, and I praise God for you. You know what that assault feels like on your heart. It is not from a person. It is from the enemy that you can't see, but he's powerful, right? Because the Word of God is coming to you. Peace is coming to you. The power of God is coming to you. And I wanted to encourage you to unblock it. To unblock it. I've been battling all morning. And I've had two really good friends that I never saw come and just text some really encouraging things. I've kept my phone with me this morning for more reasons than one. Because I want to unblock God. I want to unblock what he may be saying through someone. What happens in our lives is that God speaks to us in a billion different ways. And while some of the things he says to us we like, some of the things, you know, they're super encouraging. I'm sure when I unblock Reed, he's going to say, thanks, man. You know, I'm praying for you, dude. You know, all these things that I should have listened to. And some of the things that are uplifting. And you know what? We scroll through that. That's good. I expect that. That's awesome. And then there's that one thing that the preacher preaches on typically. And it sounds really good. And when he tells you can make it and he tells you can keep your head up, all those things look good. Hey, there's nothing too hard for God. This setback is a setup for a miracle. It all sounds really good coming from this pulpit. And then you scroll through that, and you come up on that one thing. All right, remember the one out of 200, right? I like that, and I'll double click that, and I'll double like that. I'll even comment on that, but then you get to that one thing, and you come up on something where God speaks, and it's like, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be able to double click on this particular work. So what you do is you block it. You block it. Now, you don't say you block God. I mean, who's going to admit they block God, right? Who's going to admit that one? Nobody. No one wants to admit that they're blocking God from their heart. But the Corinthian church claimed to be opposing Paul. So they started blaming Paul. He started saying all kinds of things back to them, and the reasons they came up with literally were reasons to say, this is why we're not going to follow you anymore. Anyone have any followers on your Instagram, Facebook, right? Well, when you're blocked, you're not going to be followed either. So that's the way this works, or when someone blocks you. But it really wasn't Paul they had a problem with this morning. I'm letting you know it was challenging the Christian church. It was what he was doing to a greater faith. He was challenging them to step away from petty Christianity, self-centered consumer Christianity. That's right. And as Paul was proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, there's a lot if they liked, okay? There's a lot if they liked. There's plenty there that they could like. And there's all that forgiveness stuff. I'll take forgiveness stuff. I'll take all the forgiveness stuff you want to put in my Facebook feed. I'll take all of that, all right? And Paul steps up and challenges them to repent of some attitudes. Paul steps up there and says, let's reposition your heart. You know those scriptures we covered a few weeks ago. Paul gets up there and he says, hey, there's just something here where I sense you have blocked God. And now here's the thing. They're blocking God and they're blaming Paul. Did you know that you can block the blessing of God when you play the blame game in your life? When you start blaming what they did, what they didn't do. This past week, I had 4 days with my senior in college, Harrison. He's my youngest son, but he's a senior in college. And I had equal time with my junior Hobbs boy, who is 18, almost 19 pounds in the 95th percentile, and he's 5 months old. And my grandson. I had so much fun. We were all together at one point in this community area pool, and I won't say who it was, but somebody just said, hey, hold my phone, I'm jumping in. And they pitched it across the deep end of the pool, and it didn't make it. And as soon as it hits, like everybody's like in there to grab the phone, it pulls out, and the specific person is, you know, it was very much like my cover here, all right? One of these deals, not a waterproof cover, is one of these. But it was, what's up with the cover, man? There's water in my cover. I can't believe that. I'm going, that's not a waterproof. But there shouldn't be water, not for that amount of time. I mean, it's just like only went like 2 feet under. And it's just this, oh, my gosh, why is there water in my cell phone case? Just mad at the cell phone case. Mad at the circumstances. Mad at the trial. Mad at the preacher. Oh, it's getting quiet in here. Mad at the other Christians. You see, I don't really care too much if I make you upset. I'm more concerned if I offend God by not challenging you to the level of the standard that he called you to, church in Avalon. I will be held accountable for that. I'm here to equip the saints. I'm here to push you. And I don't say that I do that perfectly, but I am held accountable to that. I'm more worried about offending God. And I want to say that the blessing of God has been trying so hard to flow to some of you, but you keep blocking it. You keep blocking it. You blame others. And you blame your lack of giftedness, your lack of growth is put under the wing. I'm not gifted, so I can't grow. The reason I'm not growing is I'm not gifted. I'm just not that smart, or I'm just not that talented, or I just don't pick up on things that quickly. And I refer back to the text. Because I was talking to a group of believers, he says, our hope is that as your faith increases, look at verse 15, as your faith increases, guys, okay, as your faith increases, our area of influence among you may be greatly enlarged. Here's the dynamic. They have to grow together. Anyone here this morning? They have to grow together. Okay? They have to grow together. Let me show you what I mean. If I, it won't make any sense at first, but I promise you, okay, I promise you, I will land this plane. You will get this, and this will make sense this morning. You're going to be safe, too. We're going to land safely. We're not just going to crash this plane. It's going to land, all right? But I promise you, I'm going to put you in a situation here that'll make sense. It's a terrible thing to be blocked, and here's why they're blocked. See, in Corinthians church and their faith, and he's talking to them, as things in this Corinthian church increase, the church grows. As the church grows, the faith increases. He's just back and forth with this. As this grows, this should increase. Now, Paul wants to preach beyond the church of Corinth. He wants to go beyond that. He says there's more. He wants the gospel to go forth and go even farther than it's gone. And what I put in my notes this week was this. You've got a stubborn church who is satisfied, and they're set in their ways. And now that they have been reached, and now that they have been preached to, now that they have been blessed, they want to stay right where they are. They don't want to go beyond. Why would I want to go beyond? I love my little service. I love my little church. I love the bell at 10:29. I love what's happening. I don't want to change things. But the essence of blessing is that it always looks beyond itself. Write that somewhere or type it in your phone. That's the essence of blessing. It has to look beyond itself. God doesn't limit blessing. I haven't found that yet. Or I'd still be a baby Christian. I don't even know if I'd be married or have kids, any of that. Ask Abraham. God said, I'm going to bless you and you'll be a blessing, boy. The point of the blessing of God in your life is not that it would flow to you, but that it would flow through you. And if we stop right there and we get stuck here, if we literally look beyond hope, beyond preaching, beyond receiving every Sunday morning, I believe somebody's breaking out of limitation right now in your mind. I ask that you open your mind to this. The filter of the heart is your mind. Listen to what I'm saying. Your family and the generations beyond you, not below you necessarily, but beyond you and below. They'll capture this. When you look at this, they have to grow together. Touch somebody and say, they have to grow together. Look at somebody. Reed, do your best. John's way over here by himself. Here's Karen by herself. Just touch. They have to grow together. So Paul says, as your faith grows, the kingdom grows. So watch this. As the kingdom grows, your faith grows. You tracking with me this morning? I'm just getting warmed up. I love this stage. We don't take an offering. We don't have an offering out there in the hallway so that we can build a bigger building or get comfy chairs in here one day or the best sound and lighting or quadruple sponsor missionary salaries. That's not why we take an offering. We take an offering so that God could build your faith. It's your faith that God is after, and God wants to break out of a box of what you thought was possible. I'm preaching to myself this morning. I had to go through this. God wants to break you out of the box of what you think is normal. That's how He works. God wants to break you out of the box of what you think is extravagant. That's your definition. He's got a bigger one. God wants to break your limited belief system. That's what it is. That's what it is. It's a limited belief system. And that's what keeps us stuck. And my friends this morning, that's what keeps us blocked. We blame everybody and everything, but it's our own BS that keeps us in the box. Belief system. Okay, for those of you degenerative ones, I wasn't going there. Belief system. All of this time, I thought something else was blocking me. And all this time, I thought somebody else was blocking me. What if the only thing blocking you was just a question? What if it was just a question? And you can get mad at me, but what if the barrier was your own belief? 11 years ago, this hit me like a bowling ball coming right down the center here. It just nailed my heart and knocked me out. My belief system was off. I literally had to look and say, can God do it? Could God do something? My belief that he could use you. Your belief that he is bigger. What if the real barrier is your belief? Because Paul seems to say that if your faith increases, nothing can stop the gospel. If you have enough faith, if you believe big enough, there's absolutely nothing that can stop the purpose of God. But you've got to unlock it. You've got to unblock it. The purpose of God cannot be stopped, but your unbelief can block it from operating in your life. Do you get it? Yeah. Do you hear this? This is heavy. The plan of God cannot be stopped. Nothing can stop the plan of God, but you can block it from being activated in your life because you won't believe it. The provision of God cannot be stopped. I believe financially, he will take care of this church. I believe that. God is more than enough. He is Jehovah Jireh. He will always provide. He is the provider. He is efficient. He's always more than enough. But your unbelief can block the power of God in your life. But his power can't be stopped. But you can unblock it if you choose this morning. If you don't believe me, ask that stone that had the assignment to keep Jesus in the tomb. They thought they had blocked him, but they found out when the word of God comes forth. Man, I feel like preaching this morning. If you're listening to me, nothing can stop the purpose of God. Nothing except our unbelief. What the stone couldn't do, your hardened heart can. Keep Jesus locked in. Touch somebody this morning and say, unlock it. Unlock it. Tell them again, say, unlock it. Wake them up. God's been trying to deliver his word to you this morning. And you got to unlock it. I don't care if you're a teenager or you're 90 years old in here. It's the same gospel for the youngest in this room to the oldest. And it can be unlocked and brought into your heart. And now I see why Paul was frustrated, because he saw these people who could be reached in a complacent church in Corinth who had already been reached themselves, but now they had stopped reaching. So he reached his limit. Yeah, I mean, he was ready to go. And in his best pastoral tone, Paul says, I've got to see something different. I want you to grow up. So the gospel can go forth. And I understand Paul's frustration. I really do. I get frustrated with myself because I know there's much more to God and much more than he can do in me. But then I block it. I block God. Do you? Do you? Do you block God? You block him in certain areas of your life, thereby blocking God. I block him out all the time. And I have to fix that. I'm not saying I'm bigger than God. I'm not saying that he can't knock me over and do what he wants to do through somebody else. He can. I block him through doing it through me sometimes. I don't feel like going there, God. I certainly don't feel like going over there. I don't feel like talking to this relative this morning. So the last place I want to do is send that email and start that all over again. It's too much of a risk. And I limit God's work through me. Y'all listening this morning? You ever done that? It's risky. I know, but there's times where God wants to encourage somebody, but I block him from working through me because I'm too stuck on myself. And I hate that feeling. I hate it. I know there's times where God wants to use me to even lift up the atmosphere in a certain room. My wife and I will be invited to a dinner, and I've been so stinking overdone in the week with hours and things happening. The last thing I want to do is go to this dinner. The last thing I want to do is go in there and, you know, begin shaking hands and talk and more things. I'm just pooped. Real selfish centeredness, you know, real self looking, you know, just horrifying moments where I'm just exhausted. And I look at that and I say, God, could you unblock the joy in my heart right now? Could you unblock the fact that your presence is with me and somebody needs the presence of God to be offered? And I know that there's times where I come to church and God gives me the opportunity to praise him. And I'm so self-conscious, I won't even lift my hands. I've been through this. You know what I'm talking about? No, nobody does. Okay, great. I'm so worried that other people are going to look at me and think something. But if I would just open my mouth and sing hallelujah, like somebody sent me this song, I raise a hallelujah last night. I was like, oh, man, repeat, repeat, repeat. For about 18 minutes, I played the same song till it busted out. Took 18 minutes worth. And it was great. I was too worried about what people would think. But I've just opened my mouth. Sing hallelujah. Even off key. It would unblock the joy of the Lord and his presence. It's the fullness of God on Avalon. And his presence coming on Avalon Community Church. It's his presence. Amen. It's what happens if you would open up your mouth and praise God. The presence of God would flow to you. Unlock it. Praise unlocks the blessings of God on your life. Reed did take my cheat sheet this morning when he said that. That was his key phrase, and it's mine. He stole it. I stole it. He stole it. That's fine. I wonder if you could give him praise right now for his faithfulness. Could you do it? Could there be anyone in here that could do that right now? For his goodness? Anyone here felt any grace this week at all? Has anybody? Okay. I see this going on right now. Maybe you need to rethink this. Praise unblocks the glory of God. It opens up the airways. It opens up you to receive the blessings of God. They're waiting to come your way. This is why God was frustrated in the book of Malachi, because the word of the Lord has gone forth, but the people have blocked it. And God has pushed it to his limit here all the way to the end and with his people because he stopped loving them because there's so much he wants to bless them with. But they keep blocking him from the blessing. They literally felt like God wasn't loving them anymore, and it wasn't true. It wasn't true. And he begs them, unblock me. Look at Malachi 3:10. Do we have that? Unblock me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there will be food in my house. Put me to the test, son. Put me to the test. See if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven. Pour out so much blessing, there will not be room enough to store it. Amen? Something is blocking the people from the blessing of God, and there is a refusal to put God first. This week and the events of this week have brought me to that conclusion. He said, but you would unblock me. And watch what happens. As the windows of heaven will be opened up. There's no shortage of supply. But you keep blocking me. There's no shortage of joy. But you keep complaining and coming up with excuses and blocking me. There's no limit to how many people we can reach. Andrew, Get your eyes off circumstances right now. Put your eyes on me. There's no limit. Believe that. Keep your eyes on me. If you would just stop blocking me. If more than 23% of the church would tithe, there would be no limit as to how many little teeny church plants and little house churches would be going nuts right here on these five streets going this way and four going that way and that one going up the hill and Middle Terrace, Upper Terrace, Hamilton, go right on down the cove. Can you imagine what that would look like when the word goes forth? You know that offering time, we just keep blocking God. You know I'll do that other stuff, you know, where we have to lift our hands. I'll do it. I'll lift them really, really high, actually. I want to pour out blessing until there's, you know, no more need. One translation says that you won't have room enough to receive it, God's word says. Remove the block, receive the blessing. One more time. Remove the block, receive the blessing. Remove the block, receive the blessing. Dave Ramsey caught my marriage when I had two kids at the time. And I went to a video seminar at my church, and it was good. And I remember him saying, you need to start your savings, your emergency fund, with how much? $1,000 in your emergency fund, right? And Shelley and I had that emergency fund saved up. And I don't know how you feel about this because it may sound a little irresponsible. The Lord prompted my heart to give the whole emergency fund. It was an offering. We just gave it, the whole thing. And I understand at this point that I told you I didn't have four kids. I had two kids, but it was a little crazy. I didn't have any kids in college, all right? But I figured worst case scenario, me and Shelly can make it. We can do this. We'll figure it out. I felt like God was giving me an opportunity to unblock my heart and to trust Him beyond. We're already tithing. She said, I'll do what the Lord's telling you to do. And I started tithing when it's 10% back to my local church. I started tithing right about when I got out of college, right in the edge of graduating from college. And there was this season I got kind of lazy about it. And I just let it go for about 6 months. And I had a roommate named Paul. He was from Connecticut, and he was a great soccer player. We both shared a room together. And he came, busted the door in one day, and he was frantic, just going around. Do you got an envelope? You got a stamp? You know, I'm like, Paul, what's going on, man? He goes, my tithe. I haven't tithed in like 3 months, you know? And I think he had like $7 and it was crinkled up once a week in this little thing he had stashed over there, you know, college student. But to him, we had just heard a sermon in chapel in regards to tithing and offering. And he came back pumped. And he came back just going, for the last 3 months, I've been sitting on this stuff. And I loved his heart, but he had to get that out. And the Lord spoke to me about it right then. And, you know, I said, you know, whatever God you bless me with at this time, no matter what, how large or how small, I want my finances and I want my faith tied together. Paul was the real deal. Interesting name, by the way. He was a great kid. He wasn't that great of a soccer player, but he was a great kid. I loved his heart. It scared the heck out of me when he banged the dorm room door open. Just, I need to do this. And I caught something from that. And I made a promise. I want my faith and my finances to grow together. And as my finances grow, I want my faith to grow. Are you with me? They go together because it's a blessing. And as the blessing grows and your generosity doesn't, it will spoil and you'll become prideful, self-sufficient, and I think that's why God was so wise. To establish the tithe, it's a fixed percentage. It's the first 10%. And some people say that's Old Testament. Fine, start higher. Because why in the world would you go lower when you have the grace of God exhibited by Jesus Christ on the cross? Oh, come with me right now. See what I'm saying? We're not under the law. We're under grace. That means we can do more, not less. Anyone here this morning? Yeah. Somebody, just shout, beyond limit this morning. Yeah, it works. Beyond, beyond, beyond. So I was tithing and all, but this was the first time I really gave an offering. Okay, fast forward, two kids, Shelly and I are at the kitchen table, and I'm like, I really feel like we need to do this. And she didn't know what to say. We'd worked really hard for that $1,000. Let me tell you something. That first decision, the first one, the 10%, okay? You make that decision. You make it with whatever amount you have and say, God, I'm going to trust you. And as your blessing to me grows, my generosity will grow, and you get a chance to give an offering. And that was my first one. I never had $1,000 to consider as an offering. It was an emergency to me. So I gave the emergency fund. God spoke to me to give that whole emergency fund, and we did it. It was cool, and I liked it, and I got addicted because it kind of felt good. It felt good, you know, to sit here and say, me and God are in this together. And it felt kind of good to feel like whatever comes in my life, I can trust God with it. Because if I can trust Him like that, then whatever comes, including this week, hard things, I can trust Him. We've had the opportunity now many times in this offering in our own church. I see everybody on Facebook, hashtag goals, hashtag relationships. Anyone have any goals versus just relationship goals? Anybody have any giving goals? I've never seen a hashtag giving goal. You ever thought about it? I don't know if it'd be very popular. You got any of those? Why are our goals always about what we want to get? Why aren't there any goals about what we want to give? And Paul says, I want your faith to grow. And you know, some of us have been stuck at 10%. For so long, I wonder what would happen if we went beyond. I wonder what would happen if we really challenged our capacity in season. And I'm blocked. I'm blocking the blessing of God by not challenging myself. And I'd like for you to pray about it. And I'd like for you to pray about what I'm speaking to you about. And I literally, you should pray about this at any level you want to, any level. Because for some of you, this will be a message about an offering. And for some of you, this will be a message about forgiveness. See, this is not just our refusal about putting God first in our finances. Sometimes it's somebody that you won't extend grace to. They need something from you. And for some reason, you're blocking that grace to flow. I just don't like that person. I'd rather just block them. I don't want to hear them. This is not just a money message. This is a life message. And Paul says, when you release it, you receive it. When you release it, you receive it. So I guess it's about holding things loosely. True for finances. True for forgiveness. True for encouragement. And this is a season of release. And there's some things we need to just let go of. Just let them go. God cannot bless closed hands. Can't do it. So what is this season about? Beyond. Paul says, we want to preach the gospel in lands beyond. To infinity and beyond. The real project that God is working on is probably, to be honest with you, that place in you. That's the beyond in you. That's the place He really is doing the work. So what is this season about? Where He wants to stretch you beyond what you thought was possible. God doesn't want you to be blocked. It's the worst thing in the world to love somebody and they won't receive it. Have you ever tried to love somebody and they wouldn't receive it? Anybody here ever tried to love somebody like that? Yeah. You ever tried to help somebody and they wouldn't receive it? Over and over again. You ever tried to encourage somebody, but no matter what you say, they don't want to hear it. They've blocked you. God says, I've been trying to get some things to you. I've been trying to do some things in you. I've been trying to push back your boundaries and blow apart your box of what you think life could be. But you keep blocking me, and you won't believe. If you just come to me, you know, just like childlike faith, open your heart, open your life. I believe in this season, God is going to unblock some things. He's already doing it. I believe that there are some things that God is going to unblock in your family. How many would say that's true? Raise your hand. Believe that this morning. God's going to unblock some things in my family. Okay? I believe there's some things that God wants to unblock that are boundaries that God is looking in your own personal life to push back and pour out a blessing. And right now you don't see room to receive it, but He'll make room. I don't know if you believe this kind of preaching. And you can block me if you want to, but if you receive it, if you believe it, that He is able to do immeasurably more, okay? Unblock this right now. He's able to do this. When you literally let go this morning and you begin praising God, and I don't mean whatever comes to your mind, whether you say amen or you just start clapping or you decide, I'm just going to burst out in song, whatever it looks like, God begins to unblock it. He says, simply just let this go. Even the stone assigned to holding Jesus in couldn't hold him. That stone had to be rolled away. It had to unblock Jesus. This is not just an offering. This is an unblocking this morning. This is not just about finances. This is about literally unlocking God's blessing in your life. You can receive it when it's unblocked. I want to pray with you this morning. And if you'd stand up, I'd appreciate it. That's an important time for us. The presence of God is here. There's at least two or three of us gathered, so He's here. Anyone care?
Anyone care?
Yeah. Does it feel good to have the presence of God here? Is it soothing? You bet it is. You bet it is. I want to pray. The Word of God has gone out with clarity. God has spoken some things this morning, and I didn't even say it, but He said it through what I said, and believe me, He knows where it's going. I didn't send it to a specific person, but you may have received something this morning that's from God, and I know exactly what I'm supposed to do. God knows exactly where to send it to those blockages and where those places are. And so He does that. It's frustrating to your father who has so much to give, but you don't give him enough room. God is enlarging you now, wants to enlarge your heart, wants to enlarge you in your vision, enlarge you in your perspective, wants to enlarge your world. The world of the generous gets larger, and the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. We don't put God in a box. We put ourselves in a box when we don't receive what God has to give. Friends, this fall is the season to take the lid off. This is what happens under an open heaven and in the presence of God. And the presence of God is here, and you've agreed with me that He is here. I want to pray with you right now for that place in your heart, that thing in your heart that you need to give to God that very well may be the initial blocking. It could be the financial part, or very well may be the relational issue. Maybe it's something you need to surrender to God, or a place where you need an authentic, you know, where you've been a fake. God knows what's blocking you, and it would be a shame for you to have so much to give but to be blocked. Writer's block is nothing compared to believer's block. When believers get blocked, the gospel doesn't go forth. The purpose of God isn't fulfilled through your life. And there's so much that God wants to do in your life, but you got to let Him in. You can only let Him in with open hands and an open heart, would you lift your hands to heaven right now? Just repeat after me. Father God, Father God, I open my heart. I want your will to be done and your kingdom to come in my life, in my family, on my job, in my school. Let it come, God. God, I release everything in my heart that's been blocking your blessings. You can have all of me. Say it again. You can have all of me. Have your way. You can have all of me. Have your way. I surrender all. And in this moment, all that I have is yours. All that I have is yours. All that I am is yours. Everything that I hope is to be yours, God, and give to you. We believe you for miracles in this season. We believe under an open heaven for your blessing to go forth. Now, start now. We will not be blocked. The gospel will go forward. Father, we're your children. We are your church. Your kingdom has come, and your will be done. And we give you the praise under an open heaven this morning. Amen. We pour out our spirit, all of it, all that we have inside us, to receive your spirit. Come and join with us. Fall right now fresh on us, Holy Spirit. Have your way. We thank you so much, God. You've provided so much, and we receive it this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
In my ear tells me that I'm fearless. Shares a melody, tells me to repeat it, and it makes me whole. It reminds my soul I am all. By scales upon my eyes, he came like a light, burned up all the lies. Oh, he set me free. He reminded me I am more. On the floor, truth is spoken. I'm no orphan anymore. Chains are broken. Scales are on the floor. Truth is spoken. I'm no orphan anymore. Chains are broken. Scales are on the floor. Truth is spoken. I'm no orphan anymore. For I am love. I am new again. I am free. I'm no slave to sin. I'm a saint. I am righteousness, and I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive. Sing, I am loved, yes, I am loved. I am new again, I am free. I'm no slave to sin, I'm a saint, yeah. I am righteousness. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. Yes, I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. Yes, I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive.
God bless you guys. Live unblocked with the Lord, right? Walk with Him in rhythm with Him in His grace and His mercies. God bless you guys.